possible. "Make the best use of the time we can," Eric said. "Burn them out of my sky. Enemy cruisers are priority targets for our lasers and HVM loadouts, but if you can't see a cruiser, fry a destroyer instead."
"Aye, aye, Captain," Mila responded. "All lasers firing."
AEV Yuraj Yanushik.
"Picket drones active, Captain."
"Take us into the teeth of the enemy fire," Aleska ordered in a snarl. "Punch a hole through the destroyer screen. I want the cruiser to our credit from this battle."
The Yanushik opened fire with the powerful lasers mounted on the length of her keel, burning enemy destroyers from the sky as her rapidly adapting armor shrugged off return fire with an ease that Aleska regretted would be so short-lived. The burning of the lasers opened up a hole through the destroyer screen, allowing their scanners to spot the more powerful and dangerous cruisers beyond.
"Make time on target calculations for the cruiser and fire HVM and pulse torpedoes," she ordered.
"Aye, Skipper. Missiles and torpedoes away. Time on target. 1:28.
Aleska leaned forward, anger on her face as the explosion of a Primine heroic lit up the screens to her left side.
"Keep firing!"
In the midst of the exchange of terawatt-level lasers, antimatter pulse torpedoes, and high-velocity missiles, the Vorpal squadrons raged across the second line of parasite destroyers like angry wasps among giants. Through painful experience, they'd learned that their superluminal missiles just didn't pack the punch to really tear into the heavier cruisers of the Empire's forces, but could wreak havoc on the destroyers. Calls of Fox 5 filled the tactical network as Alexandra Black led her Excalibur squadron on a vicious stampede through the enemy forces, leaving nothing but utter chaos in her wake.
"Excalibur lead, watch for crossfire!" Hawkins ordered. "Split the destroyers ahead and meet around the other side."
"Roger that, Cag," Alexandra said as she pushed the throttle forward and threaded her fighter through a gap in the enemy formation.
"Last one there bugs the captain for the FTL upgrades next."
"Like you're not gonna make me do that job anyway, Black."
The front line of the Imperial formation faltered, coming under heavy fire as the Odysseus group poured on the firepower. Behind that line, however, the remaining ships of the Empire bulled on through with no regard for their losses. The second and then third rank of destroyers took savage losses, but in short order, they closed the distance and crossed the drone picket, running right through. Once inside the picket line, the Odysseus group's defensive advantage went up in smoke, along with several rogue destroyers, as the enemy fire intensified and their armor adaptation ceased being useful. The tide of battle shifted in a swift reversal, pushing the crews of the Terran and Primine vessels onto the defensive as the weight of firepower surged down against them. AEV Odysseus.
"Flank speed!" Eric ordered over the alarm, screaming from every console. "Take us into the Imperial formation!"
The frazzled pilot sitting in the pit, having taken Steph's place, twisted in shock.
"What?"
Before Eric could say anything, however, the armored form of Odysseus appeared beside the pit and dropped to one knee.
"The Commodore issued an order," Odysseus said. "Follow your orders. I will help."
The pilot hesitated just a moment before turning back around and nodding resolutely.
"Right. Flank speed, into the enemy formation. I've got this."
"You do," Odysseus said firmly. Eric wasted only a moment on the byplay before he shifted to the squadron network.
"Follow us in and through. If you stay here, you'll die for sure. The only way out is through."
The Odysseus surged ahead, all beams firing as it charged right into the face of the enemy.
Chapter 28. Task Group Prometheus, AEV Autolycus, Imperial Space.
"We've found it." Morgan nodded, his grin more than a little feral. They'd been backtracking the Imperial fleet for weeks, running quiet as they looked for the Empire itself. Moreover, they needed an important world. Imperial outposts had proven common enough, but most were nothing but mining operations of varying types. Nothing strategic of value, and his orders were specific. This world was different, however. The population was estimated well into the billions, but far more importantly, the system held a vast stellar infrastructure.
It seemed that they'd located a shipyard facility, and from the looks of the hulls they were scanning, it was a military operation.
"Double-check our numbers and make sure we're not leaking anything," he ordered. "We don't need to be spotted now that we finally found what we're looking for."
"Aye, sir," Commander Lee responded. "All systems are secured. We're running silent."
Morgan nodded, knowing she was right. He was just being a little paranoid, but he felt some justification. They were so close now that he could almost taste it. He unbuckled from his station and kicked loose, drifting in microgravity over to where the newly installed FTL-COM was taking up a chunk of his bridge space. He began entering the pulse coding for the discovery into the system, taking his time and making sure he got it right. The system was a busy one, but they had time just the same. Space was a huge place, and not even as busy a system as this one had much activity in the area they'd chosen to park in. There was little of value in the region, just C-type carbonaceous asteroids. Incredibly common, the C-types made up 75% of asteroids in Earth's home system and seemed similar here. They were dark rocks, with no particular value for materials, and thus made perfect positions to park a ship if you didn't want to be noticed. Odds were the field was already well mapped, and barring a good reason, no one was going to bother looking in their direction again anytime soon. He just needed to be sure not to give anyone a good reason to look. Morgan carefully adjusted the tachyon transceiver, aiming for a directional pulse in order to reduce any chances of being noticed. They had intentionally parked between the Imperial presence and the general direction of Earth and the Primine worlds for that very reason.
"Ready to transmit," he said, looking around. "A little prayer wouldn't be out of place right about now. Might not help, but it sure won't hurt."
With those words, he sent the final command that pulsed a signal out in a fraction of a second, hopefully short enough not to be picked up.
"Now we wait," he said, "and hope the hell we're not too late."
Allied Earth Command, Cheyenne Mountain Facility.
"Admiral!" "Not now, whatever it is, not now!" Grayson snapped the words out angrily, eyes glued to the fighting they were only seeing through computer displays, but she knew was being paid for in the lives of hundreds right over their heads, even as the messenger tried to get her attention.
"Admiral, I think you should see this. Priority relay from Prometheus via Rankiel."
"What?"
Her head snapped around, eyes boring into the man.
"Tell me you're not kidding."
"No, ma'am, I would never..."
He didn't get a chance to finish as she shoved him out of the way and lunged for her desk. The message in question was there on her notifications list, and she popped it open immediately, eyes scanning the pulse code. She could only pick out two words without running the code through the computer, but it was enough.
"Yes!"
Her scream startled everyone in hearing, but Grayson didn't give a damn. She linked into the FTL-COM, sending a signal out to Prometheus Actual, the deep space world discovered by Captain Passer and the crew of the Autolycus during the King of Thieves mission. A video link opened almost instantly.
"Yes, Admiral?"
"Commander Yannick," she nodded briefly. "Please tell me that the facility is ready."
"Yes, ma'am. Do you have the coordinates?"
Yannick leaned in.
"Sending them to you now. You may engage at will."
"It will be my pleasure, ma'am,"
Commander Yannick said eagerly. Prometheus Actual out. The screen went dead, and she immediately shifted her focus to more local issues. Grayson linked into the command battle network, transmitting directly to the ships fighting for their lives right at the edge of cislunar space.
"Cheyenne Mountain to Odysseus, Commander Weston, Prometheus is in play," she yelled. "Say again, Prometheus is in play."
Grayson stared at the display, eyes darting up to the fighting.
"Come on, Commodore, tell me you heard me."
After an interminable silence, a familiar voice came back.
"Roger,"
Eric Weston said over the communications link.
"Confirm receipt. Prometheus is in play and proceeding with new mission. Odysseus Actual is assuming command of Prometheus Actual."
"Roger that, Commodore. Prometheus Actual is standing by to receive orders," she said, slumping. "Do what you have to do."
"Roger, Cheyenne Mountain. It'll be a pleasure."
AEV Autolycus.
"Signal from Prometheus Actual, Skipper,"
the communications duty officer reported. They're requesting target information.
Send them the latest calculations along with vectors for all primary and secondary targets, Morgan ordered instantly, leaning forward as much as the seat restraints would allow him.
Target and vector data queued for pulse transmission, sir, the comm officer responded. Pulse out.
Morgan nodded, settling back as he waited along with the rest of the crew for the ultimate expression of their mission to play out in front of them. They'd been tasked with locating stellar and special anomalies since their first fated mission, and it was all coming down to this one moment in time. Let's see how you bastards like a taste of fire from the gods.
Prometheus Facility. Forward targeting data logged and locked, Commander.
Commander Yannick nodded, standing in the middle of the alien control facility that had been retrofitted with computers and cables to power reactors in order to allow humans some level of control over all the technology that existed around him. He turned to a man standing in the corner, headphones over his ears, who was ignoring the proceedings almost entirely. Yannick pressed the button that cut off the audio to the headset, startling his colleague.
Dr. Palin, if you would join us, please.
Dr. Edward Palin sighed, pulling the headphones down as he turned back to look at the commander.
Yes, what is it?
We are preparing to engage the gravity lensing,
Yannick said patiently, mentally reminding himself that the eccentric and often distracted individual was also one of the smartest people in the service.
Could you confirm that our commands are correct before we send the initiation codes?
The language expert nodded, looking irritated at having been pulled away from his focus. Yannick didn't know what he was working on at the moment, and he'd learned some time ago not to bother asking.
Yes, yes,
Palin said, as he switched up his screens and looked over the current data, making minor alterations on the fly as he noted anything wrong.
You should be good now, Commander.
Thank you, Doctor,
Yannick said, nodding to the fire control officer.
Engage.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Commander Waters said firmly,
engaging gravity lensing now.
The Prometheus facility was ostensibly the most powerful telescope in the galaxy as far as anyone had been able to determine. Using massive but incredibly controlled gravity manipulation systems, the structure was capable of gathering all light from a huge expanse of space, literally sucking it in right up almost to the event horizon of an artificial singularity, before focusing the energy and sending it back on its way. Normally, the light would be sent to a high-resolution imaging system, and the resulting data would be recorded in the facility's archive. In this specific case, however, the light wasn't being sent on to the imager. All the accumulated light had been gathered from the local stellar primary, concentrated, and focused to a point of burning energy best compared to a supernova in intensity. Of course, being light-speed limited, all that destructive power was worthless, as it was literally hundreds of years from its target.
Transition waveguides are online, Commander.
Or maybe not.
Fire for effect.
Aye, aye, Commander,
the gunner officer said as he flipped a bank of switches before announcing,
beam out!
A roiling inferno of energy lanced out from the Prometheus facility directly into the waiting transition waveguides, and then vanished into the black, as though it had never existed. AEV Autolycus.
Tachyon surge, Captain.
Thank you, Commander, Morgan said, wishing that he dared get closer. Despite the stealth capabilities of the rogue-class ships, there were limits, so they'd have to wait for the light-speed data to reach them. Tensions mounted as the seconds ticked away. What they were about to do was entirely untested, and everyone on board the small ship knew just what was at stake. With the enemy at the gates, this was their Hail Mary. Suddenly, all the screens lit up, casting shadows around the bridge, and the crew lifted their hands to cover their eyes.
Holy shit!
Morgan didn't know who said it, but as the screens adapted to filter some of the light out, he honestly had to agree. Holy shit indeed. AEV Odysseus. Miriam twisted.
What in the hell is Prometheus? I thought it was just the rogue's operation under Passer's command.
It is,
Eric said as the Odysseus screamed around him, the ship flying right through the heart of the enemy formation. He ignored the distress, focusing on his link to Prometheus Actual via the Cheyenne Mountain facility.
What you don't know is just what they managed to accomplish during the run of the operation from their very first mission.
Heath grimaced as an Imperial destroyer attempted to ram them, only for Odysseus and the young pilot at the helm to twist their forward warp around and use the drives to crush the smaller ship like a freighter running over a kayak at sea. Getting too close to a ship the size of the Odysseus had consequences, more so when there was a fight going on.
"What did they accomplish?"
she asked, apparently having brought her attention back from the fight.
"An ace in the hole," he answered as he checked a signal being retransmitted to his station from the Cheyenne Mountain facility.
Eric's lips drew back in something far too feral to be a smile as he got the confirmation he had been waiting for.
"Yes."
"What is it?"
"A moment," Eric said, keying open the ship's communication system to a multicast on all frequencies. "We just received a download from the auto."
Miriam shot him a stunned look.
"The auto? They're on assignment light years away, sir. Rogues don't have FTL comms that can do more than basic pulse code."
"Prometheus is an exception," Eric said,
signaling for her silence as he opened his command channel to the broadcast and started to speak.
"Imperial Commander, this is Commodore Weston of the Allied Earth vessel Odysseus. You don't normally talk to us, but I think you want to change your mind."
When there was no response, not that he expected one, Eric went doggedly on as though the fighting all around him weren't happening.
"You might recognize the imagery I'm broadcasting," he said. "This is an Imperial system. 10 of our minutes ago. Please observe the military construction facilities."
"What are you doing?" Miriam asked,
looking at Eric in confusion, as was about half the crew on the bridge who weren't busy actually fighting the ship at the moment.
"I'm conducting a lesson on the proper utilization of strategic weapons," Eric said as he hit play. "Something these bastards are desperately in need of."
The video, mirrored on a small screen overhead, began its playback. At first, nothing much seemed to happen. Ships came and went, mostly smaller construction-class vessels, and all seemed in order. The first thing that happened out of the ordinary was easy to miss, but Miriam noticed the distinctive look of a transition event. Then, a pillar of flame roared up from the shipyards, igniting metal and ships and everything in its path as if the finger of God were being dragged across the facility. Wherever it touched, everything burned. The whole video took only about 20 seconds to play, but at its end, there was nothing but glowing wreckage congealing in space where once a massive military shipyard had floated. Eric wasted no time upon the video's completion.
"If you won't answer, we'll just move on to other targets in the Empire then, shall we?"
he said through his command channel. He was bluffing. He knew he was, but he didn't know what else to do. In time, Morgan and the others would locate other targets of value, that was certain, but they wouldn't in time for this battle. He needed to get the enemy commander's attention. Now. For a long moment, he felt his gut sink, thinking that the bluff had been called. And then the screen cleared, and a voice in clear, accented Primine snarled three simple words.
"You are lying."
Eric smiled, relaxing visibly.
"No, I am not. Who am I speaking to?"
The man on the other side glowered at him for a long moment before responding.
"I am Lord Yaestan Mish."
"Well, my lord," Eric said sardonically, "I have no need to lie. We eliminated one of your shipyard facilities. Shall we move on to ground-based military targets?"
"What you claim is not possible."
Eric glanced to one side, noting one of the enemy ships that was more or less holding steady a few light seconds away. He tapped out a few commands, sent them via pulse back to the Cheyenne Mountain facility with orders to relay to Prometheus, and then he waited.
"Is it now?"
A few seconds passed. Then a pillar of flame lanced down from nowhere and entirely encapsulated the enemy ship in fire. Hull steel began to glow and slagged off as the heat became too much and finally erupted in flames. The ship became a drifting pyre as the pillar of flame vanished as quickly as it came. Suddenly, the vast majority of fighting in the void came to a mutually consensual ceasefire, as both sides seemed to freeze in shock and awe at what had just happened.
"Unless you want us to move on to other Imperial worlds, Lord Meesh," Eric growled, "I believe you need to withdraw from this system."
The Imperial Lord hesitated, eyes darting down in disbelief to the displays in front of him.
"We could overrun this world. Eliminate your weapon," he said, uncertainty clouding his tone. "You could. And if the weapon were here, that might even work," Eric said. "Maybe. But maybe we smoke a few of your worlds before you manage. Of course, since the weapon isn't here, it's really an academic question, isn't it?"
Eric looked right into the display that was showing the enemy commander, eyes setting into cold flint flecks as he dared the man to try him.
"This game ends now, my lord," he said, sardonically mocking the man's supposed rank, "or we will turn your worlds into a charnel house. You might send us to hell, Meesh, but we'll turn your territory into our funeral pyres if you try."
He settled back, gesturing expansively.
"So, make up your mind. I'm fine with it either way. If we have to die here as a species, I'll settle for burning a genocidal empire 100 times our size out of the universe as our legacy. Hell, after what you bastards pulled with the Drossen, it would be an honor."
Eric smiled easily, eyes fixed on the screen as he waited for the response. The screen went abruptly black, and Eric's hand tensed slightly over the communications terminal that was linked to the Prometheus facility. Then the Imperial ships began to reverse away from his own, weapons dead as they moved, and he relaxed slowly until he collapsed fully in his seat and struggled to keep from turning a sickly green in front of his crew.
"Oh, Jesus. I'm so fucking happy he bought that bullshit," Eric groaned as he leaned over and closed his eyes, taking deep breaths.
Every member of his bridge crew stared at him with wide eyes, seeming uncertain whether or not to cheer, laugh, applaud, or throw up. He completely understood where they were all coming from.
"Commodore," Miriam said dryly, "do remind me not to ever play poker with you, if you would. You just laid the fate of the entire human race on a bluff, and I honestly thought you meant it when you said you were fine with however it turned out."
"I was," Eric said seriously as he slowly got up from the command station. "Every species dies eventually, and if we have to go out here and now, well, there are worse ways to go. They died that others might live free. That would be one hell of a eulogy line for our species, Commander."
Epilogue. Lord's Own Dreadnought, Empress Lian. Yesan Meesh stood alone in his command center when Miss Rem entered, standing by the door as she waited for acknowledgement from the fleet commander.
"Enter," he said, not turning to look at her.
Miss Rem nodded politely, though he couldn't see her, and walked slowly into the room as she examined the man for a brief moment. The proud lord of the Empire was visibly enraged, only barely in control of himself, if she were to hazard a guess. She understood the feeling. She'd been on the receiving end of the locals' little surprises in the past, though the level of shock they'd rolled out this time dwarfed anything she'd ever imagined.
"My lord," she greeted him, bowing respectfully.
"For how much longer, I wonder?"
"Excuse me?"
Yesan shook his head.
"Not your concern, Navok. These anomalies we've discovered are proving to be rather irritating."
Miss Rem shuddered slightly.
"That would be a slight understatement, my lord. They've devised a means to project force in a way I had not believed possible."
"Or a way to appear to do so."
"You think it's a trick, my lord?"
The Sector Lord of the Empire gestured uncaringly, waving off the question.
"For the moment, it matters not. If it's real, then we will have to deal with it. If it is not, well then, we will have to deal with it, won't we? It's just a matter of what method of dealing is left to us at this point.
The best people in the Empire will examine every scanner record we have, as well as everything from the shipyard attack. We will work out what they did eventually. He looked over the display to his left, showing those same records. I expect that they are using stealthed vessels, he said after a moment's thought. That would be the simplest answer. In that case, the Empire will be forced to hunt them down one by one, if necessary, and clear them from our space.
And if there is some sort of superweapon? Mithram asked, trembling slightly. Like the Drossen?
Then we will be forced to locate it and destroy it.
Yes, my lord.
To that end, Narvark, Yesun said, I've issued orders to the fleet. As soon as we leave Othar space, we will split our group and begin searching for any evidence of which it might be. You will command one of the groups.
Mithram saluted.
Of course, my lord.
Go, he said softly. Leave me for a time. I have work to do.
Allied Earth Command, Cheyenne Mountain Facility. There were fewer celebrations going on than the Admiral would have expected if she were inclined to think about it much. The relief was too strong for her to do that, though, and so Grayson found herself slumped at her desk in the war room as she looked over the data that was still pouring in from multiple sections. Prometheus had succeeded beyond her wildest dreams. The mission she had originally tasked to the first rogue-class vessel, the Autolycus, had just paid for itself beyond all calculations. But she was realizing that it wasn't over, like most of the people around her seemed to think.
They'll be looking for Prometheus, whether they know what it is or not.
Earth had too much now, relying on a single deterrent, and still no real information on the Empire. It was an untenable situation in the long term. But for the moment, they'd succeeded. This battle was over, and she supposed she should be happy while peace lasted.
Every victory has a price.
Grayson felt a chill, but managed to keep from jumping at the familiar voice behind her.
Would you stop that?
She hissed, turning to see Gaia dressed in that perfectly fitted commander's uniform.
You can't just appear from nowhere like that. Someone will notice.
No one ever has if I didn't want them to,
Gaia smiled, gesturing idly.
But I didn't mask my presence. You were simply too caught up in your thoughts to notice me standing here.
Grayson frowned but didn't comment on that. She knew it was probably true.
Yes, every victory has a cost,
she said finally, trying not to clench her teeth too tightly as she glared at the commander.
Some are too high, but this time I'm quite certain that the cost of losing was far worse.
Gaia tipped her head, acknowledging that.
Likely, yes. Time will tell, I suppose. This Empire fascinates me.
They piss me off.
Gaia smiled.
That hardly surprises me, Admiral. I rarely get truly angry any longer, not like when I was younger.
The Drossen made me enraged, but the Empire I find more fascinating than anything else. Something in their actions bothers me, but I cannot quite place it.
A lot of their actions bother me, to say the least, Grayson retorted. But they do seem unduly virulent in their obsession with the Primae.
And now, humanity,
Gaia added thoughtfully.
Yes, there's more there than we've seen. Why would they open the war with genocide, Admiral?
The Primae records, as reported, show no contact in millennia. No matter how contentious the relationship before that, humans don't have the consistency to hold a grudge across that many generations.
One question among thousands, Grayson said in a light voice. Maybe we'll learn the answer someday. Yes, someday.
AEV Odysseus. Eric Stanton Weston silently secured his station and stepped away, largely ignoring the celebrations that had broken out. The crews had earned their moment, and he hoped the pleasantness lasted. But he also knew that while they landed a telling blow, it hadn't been truly decisive. The Empire would likely be quiet for a time, but they would look for any way they could to defend against, destroy, or circumvent Prometheus. For the moment, Earth was on borrowed time, protected only by security through obscurity, because the Prometheus facility was ultimately vulnerable if it were to be discovered. How long that security would hold was anyone's guess, but against an intense effort by the Empire, it would inevitably fail. Eric pushed such notions from his thoughts as best he could and focused on the celebrations for a time. He even smiled as he watched young Odysseus in the midst of the bridge hurrah. The entity looked flushed, uncertain, and almost drunk as he stood there, the effect of the endorphin rush of the crew focused and multiplied in a singular form. Of course, that really just brought to his mind all the questions left to answer. Every time we go out to find answers, we find more questions. He nodded as an ensign congratulated him, turning his focus to the others of the crew. He didn't notice when Odysseus vanished from sight.
"Who are you?"
the flushed and more than slightly hopped-up entity demanded as he faced off with the intruder. The other was a tall figure with cut, hard features, who looked at Odysseus with a blaze behind his eyes.
"You may call me Saul," the other said frankly, walking around the armored figure of Odysseus. "And you're the new one, are you?"
"The new what?"
Odysseus demanded, irritated as he turned to keep the unknown figure in his sight.
"And what are you doing on my ship?"
Saul laughed.
"Your ship? You truly are a babe in the Black Infinite, are you not? You should not exist."
Odysseus's expression hardened.
"Who are you to tell me that?"
"I am not for you to know, child," Saul said, sneering slightly. "You're a mistake, clearly, but a harmless one. Enjoy playing with the humans for however long it lasts."
"What does that mean?"
Odysseus was coming down off the second-hand endorphin high and was now just angry.
"Human ships last, what, a few years? 50, perhaps?" Saul scoffed. "What do you suppose happens to you when your ship is decommissioned?"
The taller entity looked Odysseus over with one last glance, then turned away and stepped out, vanishing between breaths. Odysseus stared after him, lined eyes wide and rouged features suddenly quite pale. An echoing voice was all that was left of the unknown entity that called itself Saul.
"Enjoy your life, child. It will be a short and useless one."
Odysseus clenched his fists together. He had no idea what had just happened, but he knew one thing. For the first time in his existence, Odysseus felt anger. Not second-hand, through one of his crew, but personal anger.
"I am Odysseus! I am the warrior king!"
he bellowed to the ether, not knowing or caring if anyone was actually listening.
"Short or long, one thing I swear, my existence will be anything but useless."
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Odysseus Ascendant by Evan Curry, performed by David DeVries. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.